The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, human. I'm Greg Wagoner, a human member. On behalf of Reverend Dave Dunn, Director of Religious Exploration Lexi T. Brown, Music Director Alex Peach, and my fellow worship associates and the dedicated technical team that is making today's live stream possible, I would like to welcome you to Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call human. We are a liberal faith community with a mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, who you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. If there are any of you visiting us for the first time, please, and feel comfortable doing so, please rise as you are able, as well, and identify yourself to introduce Identify and introduce yourself so we can worship with one another as friends. Are there any first-time visitors on my left? Yes, sir.
I'm Ben Nagy, just moved here from Chicago.
Welcome. And on my right? Oh, I'm sorry, I miss you. Welcome, Jennifer. Welcome. And now, on my right, I haven't missed anybody else, have I? I have.
I'm Kathy. I was actually here last week. I'm a former member, but we moved back to the area and we're independent.
Welcome back. No one else. I miss some folks on the right. All right. Also, if you are visiting us for the first time, please feel free to scan the QR code on the back of your printed order of worship or the code located at the greeters table to get in touch. We have a few adult enrichment offerings this morning, and please refer to your order of service for the class locations. All ages are welcome in service. In addition to the fidget shelf in the sanctuary, over in that direction, there's no shelf today, just some baskets. There will be a basket of fidget toys in the fellowship hall where we will be showing the live stream service on a TV. Those who choose this option will need to stay with their children and supervise them in the fellowship hall. Children and youth religious exploration classes are held during second hour at 11:15 in Discovery Hall. Interested in learning more about Unitarianism, human, or interested in becoming a member? Join us for the next UU 101, which will be held on Sundays, October 1st and 8th, during second hour, lasting until about 1 p.m. Sign up at the greeters table or speak to Laura Keck or Jane Sewell. We will also be putting sign-up information and human announcements in the upcoming weeks. Did you know that last month's human solar panels generated 1.4 megawatt hours of electricity, saving us $162? And more importantly, 16 trees. Details about our solar-powered energy production can be seen on the running slideshow in the rear of the fellowship hall. Music Share will meet in the sanctuary during second hour after the service this Sunday, today. Come to sing, play, and or listen. And now, let us greet one another in the hand or elbow of friendship.
Good morning, all. We join together to celebrate this dance we dance. It is a dance of life. It's also a dance of death. It is a dance of infinitude. It is a dance of finitude. It is a dance of supplication. It is a dance of surrender. It is a dance of grief. It is a dance of joy. It is a dance of grace, and it is a dance of love. With that, let us now light our chalice together.
May the light of truth illumine our minds. May the spark of love set our hearts on fire. May the flame of freedom burn brightly within us, now and always. Younger generation of Americans are quite stubborn, you know. Of course, not all, but some have a very, very hard attitude. Enough, even though they talk about love and freedom or naturalness, they do not understand these things, and they cannot understand what Zen is in that way. If you want to study Zen, then you should forget all your previous ideas of love, freedom and naturalness, and just practice Zazen, sitting meditation. Practice without effort is not true practice. You must be true to your own way until at last you actually come to the point where you see it is necessary to forget all about yourself. Until you come to this point, it is not completely mistaken to think that whatever you do is Zen or that it does not matter whether you practice or not. Just to continue should be your purpose. When you do something, just do it should be your purpose. Just practice Zazen, sitting meditation, and see what kind of experience you have in your practice. That is naturalness.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, choir. The disciples' obedience must be given gladly. Speaking and teaching are the master's task. The disciple is to be silent and listen. The disciples' obedience must be given gladly. Speaking and teaching are the master's task. The disciple is to be silent and listen. That quote is taken from the Rule of Saint Benedict, written in the 6th century. It is the standard, the methodology, the praxis for Christian monastics. It's still used today. The word Islam means submission to the will of God. A Muslim is one who submits. Zen monk Shinyoro Suzuki says, "We cannot force anything, but once the rules have been decided, we should obey them completely until they are changed. It is not a matter of good or bad, convenient or inconvenient. You just do it without question." Submission and obedience. We think of them as being the opposite of freedom. We think submission and obedience, we think of them as being mutually exclusive from freedom. I mean, they are opposites, correct? I mean, they are mutually exclusive. I mean, freedom is like the ability to do, the ability to act, the ability to decide for oneself without infringement. Submission and obedience sound like infringements on freedom. What does it mean to submit to the will of God? In Islam, one can't submit to the will of God until they relinquish all their attachments, all their desires, all their addictions, and this includes addictions to the self and the ego. And although generally translated as submit, the word Islam is generally translated as submitting, the root of the Arabic word salam, upon which the word Islam is based, the root of that word, salam, is peace. So for a Muslim, relinquishing all their attachments and desires, addictions, including the self, brings peace. In Buddhism, Zen or otherwise, it works the same way. Many religions work the same way. Again, we think of submission and obedience as being the opposite of, mutually exclusive with, freedom. To many religions, the thinking mind is another unhealthy attachment. According to the practice of yoga, an entire philosophy that is much more than just poses. Philosophy of yoga, at its root, yoga means the cessation of the turnings of thought. That is yoga in its root. Many Unitarian Universalists, myself included, get caught up in the turnings of thought. The ego of thought. The attachment to thought. This might even be a form of denial in a way. We like to think. We like to solve problems. We like to keep our minds busy, so maybe we don't, you know, address something that's really hurtful going on in life. And as shocking as it might sound to Unitarian Universalists, rather than getting caught up in all these attachments, including the attachment to thought, what if you were to submit to the will of God, however you envision God, as an omniscient, all-knowing being, as an interconnected web of all existence, as the natural world, an interconnected web of spirit, as love, however you envision God? Again, what if you were to submit to the path of God? A holy way of life, if you will. philosopher Soren Kierkegaard makes what I believe is a very important point on this topic. Submitting to a holy way of life, a path of God, must be a conscious choice. You must make a decision. He says, God and self define themselves through the exercise of the will, meaning a choice, a decision. He continues, for human beings, the absence of a decision, in the absence of a decision, there is no self. Or more precisely, the self remains completely indeterminate. Wow. The self as indeterminate. Indeterminate. That's a haunting word in this context. It's like being without beingness. For Kierkegaard, a decision, a choice of a path, substantiates beingness. Without the conscious choice of a path to follow, one's life is simply on cruise control. Everything could be good. Everything could be fine. As long as I get my coffee, as long as I get to watch my shows, as long as the temperature in the room is just perfect, as long as I get my morning paper, yada, 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 right? Everything could be fine, but really, everything could be just slowly sliding down the slippery slope. And life is just biding its time, waiting to hurl its slings and arrows of outrageous fortune upon us. And when that does, my indeterminate self shouts, hey, when did all this crap show up? When did all this suffering show up? I believe this is a big problem in Unitarian Universalism. Perhaps the biggest problem. We like to think, we like to hear about, like Buddhism, oh, that was cool. Or Hinduism, wow, I learned a lot. Or paganism, I've never thought about it that way. We like to think about stuff. But we like to focus on ideas and thoughts. Yet regarding matters of faith, I don't think Unitarian Universalism asks anything of Unitarian Universalists. We aren't pushed enough. We aren't called upon. Kierkegaard would say, we aren't called to take a leap of faith. Perhaps the problem isn't truly with Unitarian Universalism. Perhaps it's with its ministers, like me. Maybe we, as spiritual leaders, need to ask more of our congregants. Maybe we, as spiritual leaders, need to make sure that our congregants have made a choice or on a path. Maybe it's our responsibility to see that they've made such a choice. I don't want any Unitarian Universalists, I don't want you to be indeterminate, simply sliding down a slippery slope. I've already indicated that many religious traditions articulate that relinquishing attachments, desires, ego, and the self, you need to relinquish those things in order to submit and be obedient to a spiritual path. Yet many traditions also articulate that the very act of submitting to a path, being obedient to a path, leads to true freedom. In Dostoevsky's novel, The Brothers Karamazov, the aging abbot of the monastery teaches his disciples. He says, the monastic way is very different. Outside, obedience, fasting, and prayer are laughed at. Yet only through them, Only through them is the way to true, real freedom. I cut off my superfluous and unnecessary desires. I subdue my proud and wanton will and chastise it with obedience. And with God's help, I attain freedom of the spirit and with it, spiritual joy. It's not we, but those outside the monastery who are in isolation. And when you look about the world, rife with loneliness, desperation, brokenness, and suffering, he might be right. I quoted the Zen monk Suzuki earlier, yet I left out the final line of his words. I'll include it here. He said, "We cannot force anything, but once the rules have been decided, we should obey them completely until they are changed. It is not a matter of good or bad, convenient or inconvenient. You just do it without question." And the final line, "That way, your mind is free." You see this again and again and again and again in religion. Submitting to, being obedient to a spiritual path leads to true freedom. After making a conscious decision, a conscious choice to follow a path, after taking that leap of faith, it then mandates doing something. Following the path, it does not mandate any thinking. Again, Suzuki continues, "The most important thing in our practice is our physical posture and our way of breathing. We are not so concerned about deep understanding of Buddhism. As a philosophy, Buddhism is very deep and wide and a system of thought, but Zen is not concerned about philosophical understanding. We embrace practice. Instead of having a deep understanding, we need a strong confidence in the root of our belief and that we all have Buddha nature. And our practice is based on that faith." Suzuki. There seems to be no getting around it. The spiritual path, the path of freedom, has submission and obedience as requisites. The spiritual path, the path that speaks to you and perhaps to no one else, still requires a conscious decision, a leap of faith. My wish for you and for all of us is that we have the courage to take that leap of faith, and with obedience and submission, realize the path of true freedom.
Thank you.
And now we extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
Not triumph, ego triumph, or transcendence of the ordinary means surrendering the life we wanted or expected for that which the gods call us for. May you have the courage to surrender and leap. Go in peace and enjoy your week.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.